Welcome to the Future of Medicine podcast, where we believe that feeling great and living a long time is possible and that your healthcare should help you get there. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel. My hope is simple, that this show will help you along your journey to becoming the healthiest, strongest, and most powerful version of you possible. Now, let's jump into the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Future of Medicine podcast. I am your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel, joined, as always, with the very lovely and very talented Jen Justice.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you ready this time?
I think I'm ready.
We had a misfire.
Some outtakes.
Yeah. That's some good stuff right
there. Yeah.
This episode is the 2024 cardiovascular update. We've been doing these the last 3 years. We think that it's important enough that each year we touch on the number one killer of humans. And really excited to do this. I just think it matters the most if your goal is to live a long time and feel great. Solving for and appropriately risking, risk stratifying one's future is top of the list, I think. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of subtitled, clearly is changing the game again. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's listened to us or certainly has listened to the last two cardiovascular updates for 22 and 23 knows that we've been talking about this really incredible technology called Clearly. Jen, why don't you explain really quickly for those that have never heard of it, what is a Clearly study?
A Clearly study. actually, to explain that, we have to kind of back up for a minute. It starts with a CAT scan of your heart, mm-hmm. Which is done at one of our local imaging centers. We upload that. It's called a CCTA or CAT scan.
Cardiac CAT scan.
We upload that to this AI-driven technology portal called Clearly. And that gives us an analysis of the plaque burden in your cardiac arteries. And they have a new feature now, which you'll go into in a second. But prior to this, we used to just do a calcium score. And we do get a calcium score with the CCTA, which was useful at the time that we used it.
Sure.
To show us calcified plaque. However, now we know it's really the soft, unstable plaque that we need to worry about both. But the soft, unstable plaque that could break off and cause the clotting, which causes the heart attacks and strokes, is really dangerous. So and deadly. So we need to know that plaque burden in the coronary arteries. So Clearly analyzes that for us and gives us back a nice report with a risk stratification of minimal, maximal,
moderate
plaque burden, and then
or none.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, either we're just establishing a baseline. Myself, I did this last year and just established a baseline for myself at 52. And then we'll just repeat it. And is it like 3 to 5 years if it's normal?
It depends.
Yeah.
We'll get into the frequency. I don't have in my notes, but I think it bears you further explaining the difference between calcified plaque and a calcium score and why we don't get them much anymore. Can you just speak a little bit to the difference between calcified plaque and non-calcified plaque, why it matters, why a calcium score isn't enough?
Yeah. So in the past, when we've gotten a calcium score, it would give us a blanket number of, and we wouldn't actually see the images. We wouldn't actually see your coronary arteries and where that plaque lies. With the Clearly, and I'm kind of going off topic here, but I think I'm getting to where you're wanting to go. With the Clearly study, we get almost like a 3D image of your heart, your specific coronary arteries, and not only what type of plaque is in there, but where is it? Because that matters as well. So the calcified plaque is stable. It's not that we don't worry about it, but it's not going to contribute to your risk for heart attack and stroke. The unstable plaque is soft.
It's unstable.
It's just
higher likelihood of rupturing.
Correct. Higher likelihood of rupturing into something that is going to impede your coronary blood flow, meaning your heart is not going to get the blood flow it needs to keep functioning.
Called a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Heart attack, or it could travel up to the brain, stroke. Mm-hmm. So in our view of cardiovascular disease, it's similar to cancer, similar to metabolic disease, that we manage these chronic conditions is, number one, we want to identify early risk early, and we want to treat that as early as possible. Number two, we want to delay it as long as possible. Mm-hmm. I used to use prevent, but again,
yeah, we've been changing that language. Mm-hmm, even
use delay. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the Clearly helps us do that.
That's great. We have been 4 years now using it. This is our third year in a row of communicating it evangelistically. Mm-hmm. And that evangelism grows. And one of the critical updates for this year is that Clearly has already changed the game. But within the last, we've been learning about it, that it was coming down the pipeline for the last 6 months or so, but I think it's been a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very recent.
Very recent.
They now have added on within the same test, the same, it's not like you have to get another, the patient doesn't have to do anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens if the physician requests it, which is called their ischemic predictor.
Mm-hmm.
So through a combination that is far too complex for the purposes of this show, the science behind it, but it's a combination of the anatomy, mathematic algorithms, and a radiologist and a cardiac team. They are able to provide a Clearly report that also gives, not only do you have plaque present, yes or no, where is it and what is the composition, we now have the ability to, upon request, ask for a predictive nature. Is there heart tissue that is suffering from what's called ischemia? Ischemia is the consequence of lack of blood, of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And oxygen travels in the body in blood. So is there compromised blood flow to the point that heart disease is ischemic? And it gives you a probability ratio, which further gives us granular information for these patients to say, hey, not only is there a thing that we're worried about, you have a moderate or a high risk of ischemia going on. There is a sense of urgency to do something up with this data.
Mm-hmm.
This is unprecedented kind mm-hmm. of granular, meaningful information about one's coronary arteries.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, this is like Usain Bolt breaking his own record.
Yeah, right.
Like Clearly already is standing alone as the superior technology to evaluate and properly risk assess one's cardiovascular future. And now we have the ability to, in those that are moderate or high risk, determine the risk of actual ischemia. And this is mind-boggling to me at this point. And I just want people to be aware of it. It's super important. Who needs to think about getting a Clearly? Somebody might be listening to this and they're probably like, gosh, do I need one? Who would you say needs to get a Clearly study?
Well, interestingly enough, I just had this conversation with a female patient member of ours yesterday. She's about 53. She's postmenopausal. She has a high family history, positive family history of high cholesterol on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked back at her cholesterol profile, and we've done the ApoB level as well, which we'll talk about and remind people of, it's been consistently high. Now it's getting better, but it's been consistently high, and she is not on cholesterol medicine. But we had a very frank conversation of, hey, number one, you're over 50. Number two, you're postmenopausal, so your hormonal environment has changed, although we have put her on HRT, and she's doing very well with that. But we need to establish a baseline here of...
Where are we? Mm-hmm.
And do we have plaque? Like you said, what's the composition? If we do have it, where is it? And if we're, you know, if it's negative, we're good. If not, we'll go the next step. But somebody like that in my mind, you know, 50 and older,
mm-hmm.
strong family history of high cholesterol, their cholesterol panel maybe just doesn't look great. And that's who I think we have this conversation with actually people with, I mean, my cholesterol panel is pristine, but I just wanted to know, are we missing anything?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think anyone who at the end of the day is concerned enough to do a little more deep dive, mm-hmm. There are several paths to the decision point of, yeah, let's go ahead and get one.
Yeah.
And I think it can look different for different people. Mm-hmm. I think at a very high level, as a general statement, I think somewhere in the 50s, probably early 50s, it would make sense on average for somebody with average risk, like average, to establish a baseline somewhere around halftime.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, at least directionally. Mm-hmm. And then you would move out or sooner based on unique variables, you know, whether it's family history, lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to make a decision on whether cholesterol is really creating a problem or not and pursuing lipid lowering agents. Mm-hmm. But before you do, you really want to. So it could be a tool to help inform someone to make a decision, when to make a decision. But I think in your 50s, beyond 55, I feel like I don't think anything magic happens at 55. But to me, speed is the game. Mm-hmm. Speed to useful information is where the real value proposition here is for this, is that mm-hmm. the sooner you get eyes on something that is a problem, the less likely you will be to have a bad outcome from that thing.
Right.
The sooner you have eyes on something that is high probability of being a bad outcome, the more effort, energy, and area under the curve exposure to behavior modifications or pharmaceutical modifications that can de-risk so you can go around the iceberg. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to hit the iceberg.
Right.
And so I think anyone in their 50s should be thinking about establishing a baseline. And I think sooner than 55, if you've got a strong family history or a unique risk profile that mm-hmm. warrants this level of insight into your coronaries.
Yeah.
You mentioned how often we should get it. And I think the answer is, I have no idea. again, it
depends.
It depends.
Depends on.
The medical team at Clearly, if I'm not mistaken, recommends if you have severe disease noted on your Clearly, it's annually. If you have moderate disease, it's every 3. If you have mild, it's every 2. And if you have none, and I'm saying that backwards. Severe is annually. Moderate is every 2. Mild is every 3. And no disease every 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably makes sense. Mm-hmm. We have a few members who were doing it annually because we found some stuff and we're not going longer than a year.
Right.
We have some that got it and it's like 0, 0, 0, like nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5 years at least, unless there's a big risk factor change, new development. So I think that's kind of the cadence. Cost. This is hard to describe like in a blanket statement because there's a lot of variables that can control cost. You know, if you have health insurance and you have symptoms that warrant getting the CAT scan covered by insurance, that can save you the cost. If you're doing a cash pay, you know, it can be several hundred dollars. Somewhere between, I don't know, $400-$700, under $1,000 for the image, probably, in most markets. The actual Clearly study itself, it depends on if you have your primary care doctor has a setup like we do, where we've set up for our members where they don't have to go to anybody. They just go get the picture, and then we take the picture. We have all the back doors set up. That's a very fancy setup, mm-hmm. and we've worked hard to do that. Some people might be fortunate enough to do that. If not, you'll have to ask your family doctor or your internist. You'll probably have to go to a cardiologist, mm-hmm. and then the cardiologist will have to order the CAT scan and then order the Clearly. And the Clearly itself, I feel like it ranges, I don't know, somewhere to slightly under $1,000 to somewhere around $2,000, mm-hmm. probably. Do you think that's accurate?
I think so, yeah.
I think it varies. I think there are variables that can influence the price of it, mm-hmm. and the availability. You might get some resistance. You might get some people who look at you, get a what? You know, I've never heard of such a thing. But that's how you get it. You have to ask for it. Mm-hmm. At this point, insurance is not going to pay for the Clearly study. This is an investment. This is truly preventative, eyes on things in advance. Insurance is only useful for some people sometimes if there are symptoms, which means it's late in the game.
Right, right. What
we're specifically talking about, obviously this is important for them too, but where we really have a heart and a passion is for those who are completely blind to a vulnerability, get eyes on it right now.
Yeah.
And make some changes. Any closing thoughts on Clearly?
Just that I'm very proud that we offer it, and we have saved probably, I mean, I can count.
I don't even know.
We've saved lives. I mean, we have definitely saved lives during this.
We save lives, but we are regularly seeing informed decision making based on the results of this study that is absolutely impacting people's lives.
I think it also has really made our decision making around lipid lowering agents better.
No question.
I mean, this is precision medicine at its finest, yeah. I feel like. And it's not like, hey, your total cholesterol is over 200, you need to take a statin.
Correct. It's not cookbook.
And I'm going to do this algorithm that tells me your 5-year risk of coronary artery
is X percent.
You know, based on this has changed the game as far as our members being informed of their risk and their probability, but also, you know, do you need medication? Do you need, do we need to throw the bus at this, or do we actually have some time to make some dietary changes and let's give you the chance to do that? And, we're not a practice that really regularly throws medications at problems. In fact, quite honestly, we can reverse a lot of chronic diseases and get people off of their medications. But this has really helped me wrap my head around that.
That's right.
Because, you know, our members are very well educated and they come to us like, hey, I don't like the side effects. Do I really need this or not? You know?
Well, a lot of these medical therapies are fraught with risk,
yeah,
controversy, a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. Who's it for? Who's it not for? And this level of objective data around a specific human's coronary arteries is unprecedented.
Yeah.
And it takes the religion off of the therapy and the modality and puts the religion on, here's where we are.
Yeah.
Here are our options to change that. Mm-hmm. Like, it strips away all of the like hypothetical, like it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And to me, it provides people with more confidence, which is really what I think people are looking for, is confidence that they're doing the right thing.
Or, hey, we really need to double down on ABC, you know, your lifestyle changes, and like we're in the warning zone here.
Yeah, I just had a real quick, I know we got to move on, but this week as well, I was reviewing a gentleman's Clearly study who I've been wanting to get for 2 years, and rightfully so, he was a little nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that we found some stuff. But we found some moderately scary things. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it was exactly what he needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we have to suffocate excuses with truth.
Yeah.
And all progress begins with telling the truth. And there's not much quite like looking up at a screen with your physician, looking at a report and pictures of your coronary arteries. And the discussion is, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
Well, here are our options. Mm-hmm. And it really does. It pulls the plug from the, I don't know. No, it's right in front of you. What are you going to do with this information? And I think most free thinking, intelligent humans are capable and willing to make really hard decisions and uncomfortable decisions if they are informed.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's where at the most basic level, I get excited because people will now be able to, like never before, be informed about their coronary arteries when they make decisions about doing or not doing or delaying or expediting, et cetera, their decisions. The second section of this cardiovascular update is our second attempt to talk about blind spots. Mm-hmm. I just more and more feel like outside of Clearly, the greatest area of opportunity for folks to make meaningful impact in their future health around heart disease is becoming eyes open to things that they were unaware of or were not giving an appropriate amount of attention. I call them blind spots. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about metabolic disease. I think metabolic disease as a term is, outside of not smoking, I think metabolic disease is the number one blind spot for the human species as it pertains to metabolic disease, which includes heart disease, many forms of dementia, and cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, metabolic disease is the thing, and we sleep on it way late until it's diabetes. You don't just wake up one day diabetic, right? No. These are, in many cases, 5 years at least, sometimes 10 or 15 years of clear evidence mm-hmm. that you are sprinting towards diabetes. Why do we wait until you're diabetic to do something about it? I call these blind spots.
Yeah.
So insulin resistance and diabetes is the number one, far and away, most important and greatest area of opportunity we see in uncovering blind spots mm-hmm. in our new members and in pointing people in the right direction. So if you're listening to this and you don't have crystal clear picture of where you are with your metabolic status, your insulin sensitivity, stop what you're doing, go figure that out. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions, we've created tons of content about what that means.
Yes.
Anything you want to say about that?
Don't sleep on it. Do it.
Yeah, that's right. I think truncal obesity, visceral fat, belly fat.
Yeah.
Not love handles. I'm talking fat inside of your abdomen that is pushing your belly out. Mm-hmm. This is the most dangerous type of fat, and it's a sign physically of chronic metabolic disease. Mm-hmm. This visceral fat, truncal obesity, shrinking waistline improves all-cause mortality. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most powerful, simple metrics to know whether you're healthier or not healthy. What is your waistline?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the hips. You know, it's proper waist measurement. Mm-hmm. If that's shrinking, you are improving your metabolic health.
Yeah.
I think it is a big blind spot, and we overlook waistline. Mm-hmm. Hypertension. I was guilty of this personally. I was guilty of this as a professional, overlooking clear but mild hypertension, either in undiagnosed or in people who are being treated for hypertension, but not quite at goal, leaving people close to the finish line, but not there. In my own life, that was a vulnerability for me, and I have uncovered that that was the risk factor for some of the things I found on my clearly. I am hypertensive. Mm-hmm. Not outrageous, but probably 6 to 8 years worth of hypertension I ignored. Mm-hmm. I no longer ignore it, and I also no longer keep quiet about it. Being blind to having hypertension but not noticing or doing anything about it is a big mistake.
Mm-hmm. I think also, remember, it doesn't always have symptoms. I had a gentleman come into the office probably last week with a really high blood pressure. He's like, but I don't have a headache. I don't have chest pain. Like, well, I said, no.
It rarely
no.
does.
That's why we call it the silent killer.
No question.
We need to get that down.
Yes. Yeah, and it becomes shocking when people don't feel anything. They've acclimated to this altitude.
Yeah.
It is. They actually feel bad when you get it back in normal because they're used to living at altitude. Mm-hmm. Sleep apnea.
Big one.
This is not a sleep discussion, but undiagnosed, untreated, or ignored sleep apnea increases risk of cardiovascular disease. It turns out oxygenating through the night matters. Mm-hmm. If you snore, or your spouse or partner says you snore, getting a sleep study, get eyes on, do you have sleep apnea? It is a huge area of opportunity that we talk a lot about. Mm-hmm. What are the two labs that we see over and over again?
ApoB, particle number, and LP little a.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the two most important numbers that nobody gets, that very few people get. ApoB or LDL particle number, you can get either. Mm-hmm. We tend to talk and speak in the language of ApoB. It is a particle number, and it is far more reliable to predicting and extracting cardiovascular risks due to cholesterol. Ask for it by name, mm-hmm. ApoB. Track it, optimize it. don't be blind to it. LP little a, this is a surface protein that most people think you have what you have and you've kind of always had it. Some people have a ton, some people have none. And if you don't know, you can't risk manage.
Yeah.
But it is enough, if it's high enough, to create a cardiovascular incident in someone who is completely blind. Don't be blind to your LP little a status, and don't be blind to your ApoB particle number on an ongoing basis. And you can ask for both of those with your primary care physician. Last section is action steps. Jen, bring us home. What is a listener listening to this saying, gosh, I'm not sure I have eyes on what's going on, and I've taken a few notes, but like, where do I really begin?
I think number one, you have to find your team. And we talk about this a lot, but you know, finding it, it's not only getting these numbers, but what is your physician going to do with them? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, do they know about Clearly? Do they understand cholesterol? It's very complex. We tend to simplify it, but it's very complex. Do they order ApoB and know how to manage that, trend it out? What do they know to do with it? But just finding somebody you trust that will give you the health confidence mm-hmm. that you're seeking, I think is a number one. And if, you know, you don't have that now, quick Google search will probably
go find them.
Yeah, go find them. Go find them. Get them in your corner.
Talk to your friends.
Yeah.
Who are they seeing? Who's their person? Mm-hmm. And it's not a crime to not know about these things. Some of our physician colleagues are super busy mm-hmm. and they don't know about these emerging technologies. Mm-hmm. To me, where it becomes a crime is where there's no room for conversation.
Right.
People need to be heard.
Yeah.
And you need to find your person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the first step. Otherwise, each step along the way is going to be filled with friction and resistance and conflict. And eventually you'll pull back. And that only hurts you.
Yeah.
And so, I agree. Finding your team, know your numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your blood pressure? Mm-hmm. What is your metabolic profile? So fasting insulin, fasting glucose, what is your A1C? What are these indicators? What are your triglyceride to HDL ratio? We've talked tons about this. There's mm-hmm. tons of content in our library of content people can look into, but you got to know your numbers. Do you have sleep apnea? What is your LP little a? What's your ApoB status? Mm-hmm. Are you trending up, down, stable? Got to know all of these things, and they matter. Mm-hmm. What's your waistline?
Yeah.
Not what size pant you wear. What is your waistline? Track that stuff.
Yeah.
Ignoring, if it was on a bumper sticker.
This is a good one.
Ignoring a borderline, I'm doing air quotes for those that aren't watching this but are listening. Ignoring borderline diagnoses, mm-hmm. borderline diabetes, borderline hypertension, borderline, is deadly. Mm-hmm. If we only take action once something arrives, we will suffer consequences.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, in the world of cardiovascular disease, that's sudden death. Jen, do you know the number one presenting symptom of new diagnosis heart disease?
Chest pain.
Sudden death.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary. That's terrifying.
What happened to Dr. Winslow? I thought it was great. I don't know. He just died. Mm-hmm. This is because the majority of plaques that rupture aren't the 70, 80, 90% blockages. It's the 30 to 40% that are unstable that rupture. Mm-hmm. And they create a massive cardiac incident. And the person gets diagnosed with heart disease the day they die by the morgue.
Yeah.
This is serious business. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason it's the number one killer of humans.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, the number one thing most likely to take you off the planet is cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. And ignoring borderline diagnoses around blood pressure, metabolic efficiency, lipid, dyslipidemia, it is deadly. Mm-hmm. I implore you, if you're listening to this, to get clear about, are you borderline? That just means you're early in the process of the thing you don't want.
Right.
Reverse it. Put resistance against it. Delay it. And then lastly, consider adding Clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, same thing with ApoB, same thing with LP little a. There's a reasonable chance that your physician hasn't heard of it. that's not incriminating. Mm-hmm. But going in informed, clearlyhealth.com is their website. They have a great scientific team. They have a lot of information. We've created information on it. Ask about it.
Yeah.
Find a way to have a conversation to see if it's right for you. And if it is, get it.
Yeah.
Become informed.
Make that investment.
Yeah. And it's definitely an investment, mm-hmm. you know, like, but yeah.
Yeah. And I love how one of our providers, Dr. Wright, kind of explains it to his members is, look, if it's normal, we don't have to repeat it in another 5 years. Amortize that over 5 years. Amortize that cost. It's pennies on the dollar.
It's really minimal investment mm-hmm. to have confidence
yeah.
around the number one thing that kills humans.
Mm-hmm.
It takes consideration. It takes some thoughtfulness. And obviously, it's not an insignificant investment, but it is manageable for most people. And to be thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
So, famous last words, Jen?
I don't have any today.
None today?
I think you did a great job.
Yeah. This subject matters so much. And we'll continue every year to be talking about things that are new and updated. But a lot is the same. A lot of the things that we believe in the most still matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're continuing to be impressed by other things.
Yeah.
And it's never too late. Start today.
Excited to see what next year's will be.
Yeah. I hope this episode was useful. If you like it, leave a comment, reach out to us, share it with someone, let us know. And until we meet again.
Bye.
Take care. I want to thank you so much for your attention. Listen, I don't take it for granted. It means the absolute world to me. You can find out more about today's episode at brentwoodmd.com/podcast. There you'll find the show notes, all the related links to this episode, and tons of other resources. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. And if you've already subscribed, then it would mean so much to me if you left a review. If you think we'd be a good fit to work together, or you would just simply like to know more about the concierge services that I provide my private clients, email us at membership@brentwoodmd.com. And now for the obligatory disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should seek the advice of their own medical professional providers.